Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is the real MVP. We got the whole crew here with us today. Kelly Scott, Nick Bryan, and I am your host, Andy. How we doing, everybody?
Doing good.
Glorious.
Fantastic.
Feeling good?
Hey, Joey, how are you?
Well, before we jump into it today, I want to track back to Fast Food Frenzy. There's an error we need to correct. There's a question that where Chick-fil-A came up, and there was a spelling question there, and
I remember that.
We delivered a little bad information. So the question was asked, how do you actually spell the title of Chick-fil-A?
I'm already upset because I thought I
you thought you got it right.
Correctly.
Absolutely.
C-H-I-K.
So that was what was in my head. That's what the doctor went with. And I was remembering the ad campaign with the cow who was saying, eat more chicken. And it had just the K. Hmm. It turns out it's actually spelled correctly. C-H-I-C-K.
It is?
Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, it is. So
total mind blower.
Well, the actual question wasn't wrong. Just the spelling.
The question was not wrong, but the information we delivered in relation to that question was in fact wrong. So wanted to clarify that. We'll own up to our mistakes. And let me remind you once again, we are experts of nothing. Evidently, that includes spelling. So
I'm keeping all of the positive energy where I thought I spelled it correctly.
Okay. you're entitled to do so.
Good on you.
Very good. Well, let's get to the question of the week. This one comes directly to our email from Rosie Glow. You guys ready?
We have an email?
We do. We'll get to that in just a moment.
He's aloof.
So this question, this is one of my favorite questions I've actually ever been asked, and I don't even know how to answer it yet. If you could live in any movie's universe, which would that be and why? Scott, I'm going to ask you to start us off. If you don't have an answer, walk us through it.
Okay. I do have an answer.
Okay.
But my hesitation is fear of death. So it would be...
It's a big factor.
But if you look at the end of the movie, I'm thinking of a trilogy, you know, happily ever after. So then maybe I do want to live there. And the answer would be Lord of the Rings.
Oh, man.
I want to live in the Shire.
In the Shire.
They're all about having fun, drinking ale, not worrying about life. Smoking the good
shoes.
Yeah.
You're built for it.
And I'm built for it because I'm the shortest of all of us by far. And so, yeah, it popped in my head immediately going with Lord of the Rings, the Shire.
That is a great
solid
answer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anybody else?
And your propensity to always wear sandals.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. True.
True. Yeah. True.
Hairy feet, I think.
Right. I don't think so.
I don't really look at your feet. But who else has got a good answer for us? Anybody got one on the ready?
I had one, but what he said makes a lot more sense what I was going to
say. I mean,
say.
We got Star Wars. We've got Marvel. Yeah. We've got Fast and the Furious.
Is it just, is it like more than one, like not just one movie?
Just pick, it could be animated. Who cares? If you could pick a universe to live in.
You just blew my mind with the animated, by
right?
the way. Yeah.
I mean, what about
I think it underwater? Does help. I think it does Finding help when, there, when there's sequels and stuff and you think of a universe. I think when there's multiple pictures, you know, of that series.
Established. We'll an established universe. Yes. Continuity to it.
Yeah.
What about Shrek?
Nah.
You don't want a talking donkey and you know, I mean, fairy tale animals? Oh, that's pretty funny.
If it's Eddie Murphy, yeah.
No technology animal or anything house back then. Oh, wow. Yeah,
there you go.
Stuck in the Animal House.
Oh. You're stuck in college frat boy land?
I just found my answer.
Pretty on brand there, B.
I just found my answer. It's Dazed and Confused.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Nice.
My first thought was The Godfather, though, but I know it's a little dangerous.
That's a good one, too.
It is.
Really dangerous, and it's quasi-real life. I mean, right? You're just dealing with the mob.
But, about futuristic, Fifth Element, right? Demolition Man going back.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. We go the three seashells. Nick, what do you got? Anything coming up?
I don't know. Like, I'm struggling to come up with something right now. I don't know.
I mean, Star Wars would be good because you could explore all these universes, right?
Yeah, but it's dangerous. Everybody's trying to kill each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is tough for me.
I just hang out at the cantina.
Nothing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Not one thing is popping out to me right now. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be Fast and the Furious for you.
What? I mean,
is that universe really that much different than our current universe?
I don't think you can die in that universe, though. They do some
really crazy stuff. Not after, but you don't
the seventh one
die completely. You always everybody comes back.
Oh well, there you go. So, you know, you get resurrected.
Paul
again.
Walker's dead.
Yeah,
but he didn't die in the movie.
Yeah, I also am having a really hard time pinning it down.
Yeah,
there's so many things that I find fascinating about Star Wars and Star Trek and the sci-fi movies, but most of those carry a lot of danger.
Yes.
You know, I like the idea of living under the sea, you know,
Avatar
and a
Little Mermaid.
Avatar. Okay. No, I was going like Finding Nemo or something like that, you know, being an animal
under the sea.
That's right. Eaten by a bigger fish, though. I mean,
not if you're an apex predator. You know?
Okay.
Last chance, Nick.
I got nothing.
Okay. We'll come back to you in a future.
You don't watch a lot of movies or anything?
I watch a ton of movies. You are
the movie aficionado. Yeah,
that might be why it's more difficult for me.
Yeah.
There's a lot to go through in the library.
Like Field of Dreams for Nick.
It's probably Remember the Titans.
I thought about that. That's a good one. Field of Dreams.
The question isn't what movie would you like to be in, what universe, and I'm trying to think of something that's not like anything similar to what we're a part of right now. Field of Dreams is us in Iowa. That's not a big difference. Except for the revival of dead people.
Except for the revival of historic ball players. You're a big baseball guy,
too. Okay.
You can always walk out of the corn.
Yes.
And you can always play catch with your dad.
Which is nice.
And talk to James Earl Jones.
That's a good one. Okay. That's a good
never a bad thing to listen to him talk.
That's a good one.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to think about that one, Nick, as we go through here. So thank you, Rosie Glow, for submitting such a fun question. If you'd like to submit a question to us for us to answer, you can submit it directly to our email address at theultimatetriviapodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and other socials at The Ultimate Trivia Podcast. So that brings us to today's topic. Today we'll be diving into the mysterious and wondrous world of sea creatures.
Ooh. Oh, I'm done.
Ooh. Prepare to be amazed by the bizarre, the beautiful, and the downright strange as we explore the ocean's depths. Mm. Brian, you're tapping out already? You giving up the W out of the gate?
No, but I think it's going to be tough for me, that's all.
I'm calling it. Nature. I'm going to win this one.
You're calling victory?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I feel like when we venture into nature questions, Kelly's got the upper hand.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Science and nature, you feel like Kelly's got a hand up on the record.
Just a lot of time spent watching documentaries while partaking.
Yeah. Fair enough. Generally curious. The ocean. A vast blue expanse teems with life, as diverse as it is wondrous. From the microscopic realms of plankton to the leviathans of the deep, marine ecosystems are a tapestry of adaptation and interdependence. Coral reef, bustling metropolises of the sea, harbor countless creatures, while the mysterious blackness of the abyss nurtures bizarre and alien life forms. Majestic mammals, sleek sharks, and curious cephalopods are just a few of the captivating inhabitants of this watery world. Brian, do you feel any better after that description?
Not at all.
I was drowning in that description.
So. I fell asleep twice.
So I'll give you a heads up. I am not expecting this to be a high-scoring trivia, so I welcome listeners again to let us know, those of you that get that 10 out of 10, But I'm curious how the room's going to do here.
Hopefully the listeners do well.
Yeah.
Maybe some marine biologists will do well.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. That's kind of their wheelhouse. All right, it's time for our main event, our 10-question trivia game on sea creatures, and I will be your host. Here's how it works. I'll read out the questions, and you'll all write the answers on your whiteboards. When I say reveal, you'll show your answers. If you get it right, you earn a point. If you don't, well, we'll probably make fun of you. So let's see who ends up on top today. Nicholas, you on the scoreboard for us?
You got it.
Awesome. And here we go with question number one. What ocean giant holds the title of the largest mammal on Earth with a heart the size of a car? What ocean giant holds the title of the largest mammal on Earth with the heart the size of a car? Lots of gazing into the distance, thinking deep, running through the brain.
I assume we're talking about sea creatures that are still in existence, correct?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
It has one big heart.
It is a big
heart. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. A big heart?
Size of a car.
Wow.
Yeah.
What car, though?
Yeah, yeah. Prius or?
That's a reasonable question.
Could be a smart car. A smart car.
Yeah. Is it electric? Cooper, I hope so.
The Tahoe? Is it electric?
All right. Is it a pacemaker?
We still thinking about answers. Brian, you got an answer on the board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nick? Scotty?
Yep.
Kelly?
C.
All right, let's reveal. Brian's got the blue whale. Kelly's got the blue whale. Scott's got the blue whale. And we got Nick with the sperm whale. The correct answer is the blue whale.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well done. Three of you got a correct answer. Nick has something else on the brain, I'm afraid.
I thought you're going to go with that or humpback.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Same.
Mm-hmm. That's also got in that other arena there. Yeah.
Same innuendos.
Yeah.
Yes. I wrote it down immediately and then I thought, is it right? But I've learned just to go with my gut.
You have been a classic overthinker.
Yep. So,
Kelly, you seem to be deep in thought through that. Were you running through a couple of different options or did you
have whales? Yeah. Okay. A couple different whales.
Right. Well, the blue whale isn't just the largest mammal. It's the largest animal ever known to have existed on Earth. Imagine a creature so massive that its tongue alone can weigh as much as an elephant, and its heart is roughly the size of a Volkswagen Bug, pumping blood through veins wide enough to swim through. Yet, despite its immense size, the blue whale feeds on some of the tiniest creatures in the ocean, krill, which are miniature shrimp. It's like a gentle giant cruising the seas.
One big animal. I don't know what to say. It's a big swimming through their veins just sends a chill up my spine.
It's hard to fathom.
That's a claustrophobia thing, though.
Yeah.
Anything.
Well, it just sounds gross, too. But
all right.
And when they land the Millennium Falcon inside the creature.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
I like it.
Well, there's, okay, so there is you know, there's folklore of being swallowed and living in a whale, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick. Yeah. There you go. You know?
Sounds doable.
Where
based
would you
on
want it to take you? If you got eaten by a whale, just
the Shire.
The Shire. I love the great answer.
Away from you guys and straight to the Shire.
Atlantis.
All right, moving on to question number two. Which fish has a unique defense mechanism puffing up into a spiky ball when threatened? Quick answers to the board. Which fish has a unique defense mechanism puffing up into a spiky ball when threatened? Looks like everybody has gotten to an answer here relatively quickly. Brian, you feel pretty confident here?
Somewhat. Yeah.
You know what it's describing, but you got the name?
Yeah, I can see it in my head. I'm not sure I have the correct name. I think I do.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% by any means.
Scotty, you were last to the board. Just
questioning myself.
Uh-huh.
But once again, rolling with my gut.
Very good. I like the strategy. One last time, which fish has a unique defense mechanism puffing up into a spiky ball when threatened? Let's take a look, boys. We got a blowfish from Nick, pufferfish from Scott, pufferfish from Kelly, blowfish from Brian. All the answers will be accepted. Congratulations, boys. 1 point for each. The answer officially is pufferfish, but it is commonly known as a blowfish and will be accepted for an answer. Ooh. Nice job. Now, this, I've been dying to ask you guys since I wrote this. This is a popular adventurous food. It takes a very skilled chef to be able to actually prepare it to where it doesn't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, one, ever tried it, or two, would be willing to do so.
The pufferfish?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could eat it.
Yeah, but it's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd eat anything that's... truly has a chance to kill me. I don't
like, there's something the called, like, I'm not going to get it right, but it's like the tingle of death or something it numbs
luck,
you.
Knowing my luck, no.
It's not worth the risk. It can't be that good.
No.
It's, you know, worth risking your life.
I know Scott's answer. He's not a seafood guy anyway.
You can give me fish? Yeah. Any fish. No, thank you.
Even if it's not poisonous.
It's a hard no. It's a hard pass.
I think dolphins, like, play with those and mess around and get intoxicated by their poison.
On purpose. Oh. It's like a drug.
I think I've heard that.
Oh. Interesting. I did not know that.
Oh, I have a new respect for dolphins for recreation.
They have fun.
If there was a chicken wing that might kill me, I might eat it.
Be in your restaurant.
Right.
You'll risk it.
A chicken
wing. I will risk it for a good chicken wing.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, the pufferfish, also known as a blowfish, may look cute and unassuming, but this little fish packs a powerful punch. When threatened, it inflates itself like a balloon, turning into a spiky ball that's tough to swallow. But that's not all. Its toxin, that's easy for me to say, tetrodotoxin.
Hey, Junior.
Let me try that one more time. Tetrodotoxin is 1,000 times more toxic than cyanide, enough to take down even the most formidable of predators. And I agree with you. I mean... I understand adventurous eating, but do you really know if the chef knows what they're doing? Like, there's supposed to be a very specific portion of the fish that you're allowed, that you can eat, and it will numb your face or your lips or your tongue or something like that. But I'm not sure I'm willing to trust someone.
No, I'm good.
Fresh pufferfish at the state fair. Yeah.
I just don't see the appeal. I don't see the appeal. Not for me.
Hard no.
Hard no. Very good. All right, moving on to question number three. Board's ready. What whimsical name is given to a group of jellyfish floating together in the ocean?
One more time, please.
What whimsical name is given to a group of jellyfish floating together in the ocean? Lots of thinking. Little bit of writing.
I feel like I've probably heard this, read this somewhere, but I actually have no idea.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
These types of questions lend themselves to trivia very well. There's a different name for just about every animal when you group them together.
Right.
A murder of crows.
And a lot of times it's alliteration.
Yeah, oftentimes. Yeah. But this one is no exception. It is, it's not used in mainstream. We had School of Fish at one point.
Sure.
Or something, right?
The whimsical part.
Yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate the hint. It gives us something to throw out there.
You got something on the board, B?
I got it on there. It's not right, but it's on there.
Okay.
I like how you're just sitting there confident like you know, but then you really don't know.
You're putting this
I'm getting aura ready for out. When we have the cameras out here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Get an answer on a board from Nick.
Sure.
Kelly is working towards one. We're going to put a 10 count on it here as we come to the end of this thinking session. I'll read it to give you that one last moment of thought. What whimsical name is given to a group of jellyfish floating together in the ocean? As Kelly finishes his board, let's reveal. Scott has Breeze. Nick has Gaggle. We've got Rainbow from Brian and Wizardry from Kelly. Unfortunately, this is the perfect game buster question of the week.
I love how we all interpret the word whimsical.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
What'd
you put next? Sorry.
I put a gaggle, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Turkeys. Yeah.
The answer is a smack.
Smack.
A smack of jellyfish is a group.
Now you have to explain whimsical to me.
Whimsical.
I agree. That is not on my...
That's not... Yeah, that's
not in the wheelhouse.
I remember after Chris Rock got slapped by Will Smith, he described it as whimsical.
He just got paid for that.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
That's a great drop.
What that?
Dynamite. He just got paid for that.
Who did?
Chris Rock.
What do you mean he got paid?
What, from Will Smith?
For getting something.
Like a settlement kind.
$40 million, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a lawsuit.
Here. No.
I didn't know there was a lawsuit over that.
Fact check that.
Fact check it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We'll edit this out if it's wrong.
No, we're leaving this in. Absolutely. Goodness gracious.
The internet's told me.
That's right. Did you learn this on TikTok? Did TikTok teach you? Well, the smack of jellyfish sounds almost like a prank, but there's nothing playful about encountering a group of these gelatinous drifters. While their delicate floating bodies are mesmerizing, some jellyfish carry a sting that can range from mildly irritating to excruciatingly painful. In rare cases, their stings can even be deadly, making them both beautiful and dangerous. Anybody encountered a jellyfish before?
Encountered, but never been stung by one.
No. I was there when your nephew got stung.
Yeah, that was in Jamaica, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My brother got stung Gulf Shores.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, which one?
My younger brother.
Doug.
Did it hurt the jellyfish?
Going in the water? He acted like it was no big deal.
Did it hurt the jellyfish?
Yeah. How did they counterbalance it? Is there something specific that they did? Or
I mean,
just
the...
I peed on him.
Well,
yeah.
Great friends, Rep. That was yourself. And there was no jellyfish at that time. That was yourself.
That was a Friday night in the scooter.
I got my stories mixed up.
I think it's a... I think it's like a old wives' tale, if you want to call it that, the peeing on it. I don't think that actually works.
I agree with you. I've heard that is busted myth.
Yeah,
you guys can fact check that and get back to me.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
No jellyfish encounters for you, Doc?
Not that I'm aware of outside of a zoo.
Yeah, okay.
The Friends episode with the jellyfish.
Yeah.
That is a great scene when you're telling the story.
100%.
Yeah, right. Great.
All right, moving on. Question number 4. What is the term for the magical phenomenon where certain sea creatures emit their own light, turning the ocean into a glowing wonderland? One of my most personally fascinating events in nature. What is the term for the magical phenomenon where certain sea creatures emit their own light, turning the ocean into a glowing wonderland? Thoughts all around. Markers to boards.
I'm writing a word that I want to see you try to pronounce.
Okay. Remember, spelling is irrelevant as long as I can make it out.
Good luck.
Yeah. Kelly, you got an answer on your board yet?
I do.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident.
Feeling good about it? Oh. Nick's got something down.
I got something down. I don't know if it's a real word.
Not too sure. Okay. You might have invented a new word.
I might have.
Call Webster. What about you, B?
Nothing. I got an answer, but it's way off.
All right. We can get
there. I have to make a retractment statement. He was not paid $40 million for getting slapped.
Okay.
I just fact checked it.
Nice.
Now, before we reveal, Scott is dying to show me his answer.
I think I made up a word.
Oh, nice.
Can you read it one more time?
I will, but I want to know first, Scott, do you feel like you might be right and that's why you want to show me your answer? Or you just want me to try and pronounce it all?
Yeah, the latter. This isn't right.
Okay.
I mean, if it's right, I'm going to go buy a lotto ticket.
I hear you.
Okay.
Well, I hope it's right then. One last time. What is the term for the magical phenomenon where certain sea creatures emit their own light, turning the ocean into a glowing wonderland? Let's see those boards, gentlemen. We have luminescence from Nick. We have phosphoring, from Scotty.
Okay. Job.
Bioluminescence from Kelly and self-illumination from Brian. We do have a correct answer in the room. Bioluminescence is, in fact, the correct answer. Now,
I was missing the bio.
I'm tempted here to give Nick a point on this. I'm curious Kelly's thought having got the right answer.
I won't take offense.
It wasn't the word.
It wasn't the
bio word. Is the most important part of that.
It is. That's true.
It's a living organism that emits light.
Yeah.
You convinced me. You get the only point on the board.
As you should.
But like that. I mean,
I'm surprised. Luminescence, I don't know why that popped in my head.
Yeah, well done. I'm impressed that you even got there.
I'll take a point for myself. So, not on the board.
There you go.
Just for it's myself, a big that, word, Nick. You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
I almost went to see them in Orlando this summer, but I just couldn't, the logistics of it, I couldn't get out there.
Would it have been the situation where you just walk along the coastline?
No, take a kayak.
Oh, okay.
Paddle through a little bay. So every time you move them, they light up.
Yeah. There was an opportunity. We were in Jamaica over the holidays this past year. There was a cave.
Yeah, it looks cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it does look pretty neat.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Anybody else ever witnessed that in real life?
Did Dave do that?
I'm not sure, but he's the one who told me about
Sounds
it.
Sounds like something
it.
Dave would have done already.
Sure. Yeah.
He gets his kayaks wet, so that makes sense.
Phosphoring was not correct. I just want to circle back around to that.
Yeah. didn't give you enough
attention. Were you using like an old book or something? Like, did you use the internet to ask that question? Because I think it's known as phosphoring.
Phosphoring? We want to fact check whether that is an old-time term.
I just feel like you're using an encyclopedia for that question.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. No, phosphoring, I'm not sure, is actually a word.
I don't think
we can turn phosphorus into a verb.
Sounds pretty close to a word.
Yeah,
it feels close. Like a word. It could be a word.
Feels okay.
It's an element.
If you use a word enough, it becomes an actual word.
That's true.
Gotta start
We've
somewhere.
Seen evidence of that recently, where they're starting to add a lot of the slang words that kids use on the internet and stuff. And
okay, hashtag phosphoring. I'm starting it right now.
There you go. Yep. There you go, listeners. Get that started.
Words the kids use, Andrew.
What's the definition of phosphoring?
That's a good question. If we're going to try and inject it into
the
world.
Are you familiar with
fish that illuminate themselves? It's phosphoring.
Yeah. Well, they have phosphorus. I mean, I don't want to get too technical with you guys because you seem like a bunch of morons.
Talking out of your ears. I mean,
I got phosphorus, but they don't have phosphor you.
So. Hey, there it is. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe we'll get some podcast apparel with hashtag phosphoring.
Oh, I like that very much.
I do. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Bioluminescence is like nature's own light show, transforming the dark ocean depths into glowing wonderland. From tiny plankton that create sparkling waves to deep sea fish that use light to lure prey, bioluminescent creatures have evolved to use this phenomenon in incredible ways. Whether it's for attracting mates, deterring predators, or catching dinner, bioluminescence adds a touch of magic to the mysterious underwater world. All right, let's move on to question number 5. We'll get a score update following this question. What type of mollusk can transform a grain of sand into a beautiful pearl? What type of mollusk can transform a grain of sand into a beautiful pearl? What type of mollusk can transform a grain of sand into a beautiful pearl? We have some thinking going on. Nick, you got something on the board?
I got something on the board.
Okay. Scotty?
Feeling pretty good.
Yeah, Brian?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Feel good on this one?
Pretty good, yeah.
Kelly, I didn't see it right. Did I miss it?
Yeah, I wrote.
You got one down.
Just unsure.
Okay. Everybody ready to reveal?
Yep.
Ready.
All right, let's see your answers. We got oyster from Scott, Kelly, Brian, and Nick. That is a point all the way around. Oyster is, in fact, the correct answer.
Glad I didn't write clam.
Yeah, no, I don't think they do that, actually.
No, I don't think so.
You guys like oysters? Raw oysters? Off the shell?
Nope.
No, Scott's not a seafood guy. Brian, no?
I'll eat some fish, but that just looks disgusting.
It's magnificent.
It's like real slimy.
Oh, it's so slimy.
It looks like a snot.
You're eating a booger. There is no way around that.
That's not even a booger. That's a
snot. Salty.
You guys are okay with that?
Oh, it's so not bad. Delicious.
I don't love oysters. I don't mind them.
Same. You like them?
Yeah. I mean,
I had them when we were in New Orleans for a bachelor party. Mm-hmm. Those were good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But super fresh. They were, that day thing. Yeah.
I got you.
But it's not something. Like, if I went to a seafood restaurant, I'm picking oysters.
Yeah, I'm not ordering it. If somebody orders it and offers it, I will eat it.
We were at an oyster bar. That's what they did there. Oh, so, went in Rome.
And you were in a coastal town.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. New Orleans. That's the same place where the bar had a trough where you can urinate while you're sitting at the bar.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Back in the day when all the dock workers would come in, they would come in, have a beer. And they had a trough underneath, and I kept looking at it, and there's a water spigot. And so I asked the bartender, he's like, yeah, back in the day, all the guys would come in, eat oysters, and just urinate while they're sitting there at the bar having beers.
It's the circle of life.
I think we have a buddy that did that, but there was no trough.
That's Kelly. You're talking about Kelly again.
Go back to Kelly there.
I was going to point out who it was.
The only thing worse than oysters is watching somebody eat oysters.
It is not a delicate, graceful type of thing.
Right, but now I have the image of watching a guy eat an oyster while he's urinating.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the worst possible. Yeah.
I'm going to suck this snot out while I pee on the floor.
How can I make this more disgusting?
Yeah.
A little horseradish on a cracker. or right out of the shell. Oh, my goodness.
Lemon juice on top.
My mouth is just hot sauce. This can be. Oysters might not look like much, but inside their rough, unassuming shells, they have the power to create one of the world's most sought-after gems, a pearl. When a grain of sand or other irritant gets inside the oyster, it covers it in layers of nacre.
It's made of phosphorus.
Also known as mother of pearl, which is how I've always known it, slowly transforming it into the lustrous pearl over time. This natural process turns something irritating into something beautiful, much like Kelly does.
Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nick, that's question number 5. Let's go ahead and get a score tally. Where are we at?
All right, we are at, I have 2. Scotty and Brian have 3, and Kelly's in lead with 4.
Scott's prediction to this point has come true.
The odds-on favorite is in the lead.
That's right. But his heels are being nipped at as we speak.
Yeah, it's not a big gap. There's still time.
That's right.
I'm surprised we're as close as we are, even after 5 questions.
Well, the next 5 should be the differentiator. Let's get to them. Question number 6. Board's ready. Here we go. Which eerie deep sea creature is known for its glowing lure that attracts unsuspecting prey? Which eerie deep sea creature is known for its glowing lure that attracts unsuspecting prey? One of my favorite creatures of the sea.
Are you only doing glowing fish trivia?
At least for a couple of these, yeah.
You can edit this out, but like when you went back and explained the bioluminescence, I thought that was a question, and this is what I wrote.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I can tell you originally in the synopsis afterwards, this was named in that, correct, and I had to edit it out.
It's probably one of the most popular ones.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Oh.
Which eerie deep sea creature is known for its glowing lure that attracts unsuspecting prey? Brian is wiping his board clean. He's going back to the drawing board quite literally.
I think I can picture what you're talking about.
Sure.
I have no idea if I had the right answer, though.
Okay. Yeah, there's a difference between knowing it and knowing the name.
Oh, for sure.
There?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I have no idea.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not even 100% sure that I got the name right.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Scotty, you got an answer on the board?
Yep. You're going to like it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll be phosphoring all the way.
It's 100% phosphoring.
Yes.
Man. All right. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Let's see those boards. Nick's got a cuttlefish. Lure fish from Scotty. Angler fish from Kelly. I got nothing fish from Brian. The answer is the angler fish.
I mean, I was close. I mean, lure was in the...
That was you, Kelly?
Right. That's right. That's it plays a prominent role in Finding Nemo, if you remember particular scene from there when they
have... They don't mention the name of the fish in the
movie. They don't talk about that. No. And lure fish is a very reasonable answer to come to.
Well, I was trying to think of other fishing relating, because I knew the antenna, the bob.
Bobberfish.
Okay.
I was trying to think of something fishing related
and
put it in front of the word fish.
Love it.
All right, distant cousin.
Yeah.
One of the more alien looking, outside of the bioluminescence. Sure. I mean, this thing, the teeth, it's just...
Oh, it's freaking...
It looks straight out of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherworldly.
Well, the anglerfish is one of the more terrifying and fascinating creatures of the deep sea. With its large, sharp teeth and eerie glowing lure, it embodies the phrase, "Don't judge a book by its cover." The bioluminescent lure dangling from its head acts like a fishing rod, attracting curious prey right into the angler's waiting jaw. It's a grim reminder of how deceptive appearances can be, especially in the darkest depths of the ocean. There's a lot of really weird stuff down there, and a lot of them, they don't need eyes because they can't see anything, right?
Yeah, there's no light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have you come by the house tonight and read all these again and put me to sleep.
Yeah. Not a fan of the deep ocean?
You got that great radio voice, though.
I appreciate that.
It's soothing.
I like it, B.
You know, nod right off.
Calm.
Calm. Yeah. Soothing. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe I have a future in reading bedtime stories, I guess.
Andy reads the Bible.
That's or the dictionary, maybe. All right. Let's move on to question number 7. I feel good about this one for you guys. Which vibrant fish, popularized by a certain animated film, sports bright orange color with distinctive white stripes? Once again, the difference between knowing the fish and knowing the name.
I think I got this one.
Yeah. A lot of quick answers.
Yeah, I want to say so many references.
I know the fish, but I have no idea if I'm right or not.
So they talk about it in a certain movie, and they make reference to it.
I know the movie. Yeah.
Right?
We'll see.
Okay. Which vibrant fish, popularized by a certain animated film, sports bright orange color with distinctive white stripes? Scotty, you got an answer for us?
Yep, locked and loaded.
I love it. I love it.
Percent?
Anybody? Yeah.
Hundo.
Hundo.
All right. Anybody need more time to think?
Nope.
Well, let's go ahead and get a reveal. We got clownfish from Nick, from Scott, from Kelly, and from Brian. That's a 100%er, baby. Mm-hmm. I love it. So, yeah, they talk about a clownfish, right? They want him to do something. The dad.
Tell a joke.
Say something funny,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Am I a clown? Do I amuse you?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I love it. Well, clownfish may be famous for their bright colors and charismatic personalities, but their real-life story is just as fascinating as the movies. These small, vibrant fish live among the stinging tentacles of sea anemones, immune to the venom that would harm other creatures. In return, they help keep the anemone clean and protect it from predators. It's a perfect example of nature's teamwork, with both species benefiting from their relationship. Anybody know what that relationship is called, out of curiosity?
Phosphorus?
Phosphoring?
Symbiosis. Symbiotic?
Oh, yeah. Symbiosis. Well done. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. You guys pulled that out of nowhere.
And Scott.
Nick and Scott with the great answers.
High five, bro.
But you got nothing on Remember the Titans.
That's always going to come back to that.
You guys just made me a sapiosexual.
Phosphoring, but in no time.
You know, when you light a match, that's phosphorus, right? I mean,
yeah, that is, yeah, yeah. That's, I understand. So is that phosphoring when you light a match?
Sure, I mean, I think so.
I'll take it.
I
mean,
we can coin that.
Do you guys know what sapiosexual is?
No.
Okay. Somebody who's attracted to intelligence. You guys just made me a sapiosexual.
Oh,
hey, okay. I dig it.
That.
We should do 10 questions on that.
Yeah. Good deal. Well, let's move on now to question number 8. Which small but mighty crustacean can create one of the loudest sounds in the ocean with its snapping claw? Which small but mighty crustacean can create one of the loudest sounds in the ocean with its snapping claw? I do need a specific answer on this. For example, if the answer was a lab, I would need a black lab or a yellow lab, something with some clarifying answer, a specific answer.
I think I'm 100%.
100%. I'm very impressed with this. This was, when I researched this question, it taught me the name of it. I was aware it existed, but I did not know the name.
Documentaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm wrong then.
Okay.
I'm at a solid
10%. 10%? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel good about that. 10%.
Okay. Nick's shaking his head as he's writing an answer. Just not sure.
No, I'm not sure.
I think we could have probably come up with a reasonable guess without the specificity to it, but the specifics might weed out some of the weak. Brian's got an answer ready to go. Kelly's got an answer. Scotty, I'm going to ask for one if you don't have one.
No, I have one, but I know it's wrong when you said you hadn't heard of it before.
Ah, okay.
Because you've heard of what I've written.
All right.
I've just written
I didn't
down.
Mean to give an answer.
That's okay.
Give a hint on this.
It's not right.
Nick, you got an answer ready?
Sure.
Let me read it one more time. Which small but mighty crustacean can create one of the loudest sounds in the ocean with its snapping claw? Let's see those boards. Brian, we got the clawfish. Mantis shrimp from Kelly. Snow crab from Scott. Crab from Nick. Unfortunately, we do not have a correct answer.
I hate saying that.
The answer is a pistol shrimp. Mm. Aptly named, I guess. It does have but yeah, I have heard of this creature. I learned about it on the Octonauts when my kids would watch that cartoon.
But never heard of that. Never heard of this.
Yeah. Made up.
Yeah.
But I did never. Not know the name of it. I don't think that's one you can order on a coastal seafood restaurant.
And what was it again?
The pistol shrimp.
Does okay. it look like every other shrimp, or is it actually shaped like a gun?
I think it's got like a really big claw, but I might be pulling that out of my ear.
I didn't know. Man, no.
Like
idea.
It has one. I think one of the claws is really big. Kelly, you got any?
There's crabs like that too, right? Where
there are.
Yeah, oversized.
Whatever. Right.
SpongeBob. Yep.
SpongeBob. That crab, documentary crab, of SpongeBob.
Mr. Crab. I should have wrote Mr. Crab.
Well, how about we learn about it, huh? Mm-hmm.
Say there's gun violence.
We're going to learn about Mr. Crab?
We're going to, well, or pistol shrimp, okay. One of the two. All right. Pistol shrimp may be small, but don't let its size fool you. With the snap of its claw, it creates a sound louder than a gunshot, capable of stunning or even killing small fish. The snap generates a bubble that implodes, creating a shockwave and a flash of light, a truly explosive combination. This tiny creature proves that you do not need to be big to make a big impact. Fascinating fact. We may not agree on that, but
encouraging for Scott over here.
A tiny little shrimp making the loudest sound in the ocean. I think there's something to that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I don't know the details, but I know like back in World War II, there was something to do with those shrimp in submarines. They were making this noise and it interfered. Like they thought it was something else.
Really?
It was a big problem. You have to look it up, but it was pretty interesting.
I'll have to do that.
Neat.
I won't be looking that up.
Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me that much.
I hate you.
All right, that was question number 8. We're due for another round of checking in on the score. Nick, what are we at?
I am in last with 3. Looks like Brian and Scotty are tied with 4. Kelly in lead with 6.
Wow. He can be caught. He can go to a tiebreaker.
Not by me, but...
Not by Nick, unfortunately. He's just fighting for a little bit of...
I just like to play
self-respect.
Trivia.
Self-respect.
Just like
go.
To play trivia.
Trivia. All right, moving on to number 9. Which determined sea traveler embarks on the longest migration journey, covering up to 12,000 miles each year? Think about this. I'm confident you'll get it. There is a specificity to it. I am not going to require that. Which determined sea traveler embarks on the longest migration journey, covering up to 12,000 miles in a year?
I'm torn between 2.
Okay. Are they 2 different animals entirely?
They are.
Okay.
Can I write both of them down?
You can. You will get a 0 points for that, unfortunately. But you got a little bit of a lead, so you can...
You can afford it.
You can afford it. Brian, you got an answer on the board?
Yeah. I don't think I'm right necessarily, but okay. I did just see something literally in the last 2 days about what I wrote down, that they travel long distances, and the mileage sounded pretty familiar, so I went with that.
Okay.
Changing my answer.
Okay. Uh-oh. Why? Tell me why. Based on what Brian said?
No. Just dawned on me.
Okay. Mm. Have you heard but this I don't know. Fact I've, before?
He's seen what he's been watching. It's Netflix history.
You said it had to be...
It doesn't have to be specific.
I am not going to require the specific portion of the answer. A general answer. So if the...
I got it.
Okay. Nick?
I have an answer.
You feel good? You feel like you're going to be in the right arena here?
I think so.
Okay. One last time. Which determined sea traveler embarks on the longest migration journey, covering up to 12,000 miles each year? Let's take a look at the boards, gentlemen. We've got a turtle from Nick, a sea turtle from Scott. We've got the great white shark from Brian, and from Kelly, the great white shark. The correct answer is the leatherback sea turtle. That is 2 points.
Nice.
It's
Well done, gentlemen. So you guys are on fire here with down, your symbiosis, down, too.
Humpback whale is what I put down first.
So whales are a common answer. They do definitely migrate a great distance. Now, I was just having this conversation with somebody recently when I was in Jamaica over Christmas. We actually had the pleasure of doing a turtle release, and they gave us information about the journey that the turtles will take over years and land back on that beach to lay their eggs once again. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
No, not really.
I think it might have been me.
I thought it was also. But
and
I
it
wasn't.
Reminded me, and we'll have to check this off the air, but I believe Nick's brother did a similar thing with his two daughters, and a bird came and snatched one of the little turtles. So you can imagine like this 8-year-old girl releasing a turtle.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have to fact check that. Yeah. But even if it's not true, it's a funny visual. Yeah.
That's nature.
I got my answer from Finding Nemo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's where, Oh, okay. I wanted you to kind of think about that process. They're riding the current or whatnot.
Australian current?
Crush. It was the North Atlantic.
Yeah,
no, that doesn't sound right. Yeah. Not North Atlantic if they're going to Australia, though. So it would have to be
something. I don't remember what it's
called. But yeah. Nevertheless, let's learn about some leatherbacks. The leatherback sea turtle is the ultimate oceanic marathoner, undertaking incredible migrations that span entire oceans. The ancient reptiles have been navigating the seas for over 100 million years, diving to depths of over 4,000 feet and traveling up to 12,000 miles annually. Their incredible endurance and adaptability make them true ocean wanderers, surviving against the odds in a changing world. I just find, obviously, the migration is very impressive. But the fact that over the course of multiple years, they circle the ocean and come back to the exact same beach.
That's incredible.
That is really fascinating to me.
So I looked at, the great white shark, typically 2,500 miles. However, one recently just did 12,400 and like shock scientists.
Wow.
Biologists.
Did they stay in a relatively small region?
Yeah, they migrated.
Wait a second. Do I get a point now?
No, not. Not for this particular.
For my reproductive areas.
Ah, they're chasing the cloaca or whatever. I don't know what a fish have. Fish tail. Thank you.
Isn't that the circle of life?
Yeah, more or less.
What we all do.
There you go.
Certain parts of the ocean get too much phosphorus. They have to vacate the area. And it is a term known as phosphoring.
I love your commitment to this word.
Stick with it.
Well, Scotty delivered and Kelly faltered, so we are still in a hot race here to the end. And we move on to question number 10. What is the name of the massive underwater mountain range that extends across the Atlantic Ocean like a spine? What is the name of the massive underwater mountain range that extends across the Atlantic Ocean like a spine? If you've ever seen a topography of the ocean, this stands out like a sore thumb. Deep in thought.
The Atlantic?
The Atlantic. A lot of thinking happening. I think Brian's on to something here. He's got something in the depths.
He makes that face a lot.
He does.
And then there'll be a question mark on his board.
You think he's thinking? Or is he just
I think he's trying to portray it like like he's on to something, but he's not.
I think it's indigestion.
It's like the Costanza look annoyed.
Yeah. Makes you
look
busy. There you go. Hey, that works. Okay.
He kind of has the look of like an infant that has gas. He's very serious waiting for it to happen.
He's thinking, do I want hash browns with my breakfast sandwich or not?
Oh, that's funny.
Get this right, Brian. Prove these guys wrong.
Please do.
Nothing. Not happening.
Nope.
Let's read it one more time. We got about 10 or 15 seconds to finalize our answers. What is the name of the massive underwater mountain range that extends across the Atlantic Ocean like a spine? Get an answer on the board. We're going to call for him in just a few seconds.
Congratulations, Kelly, on your win.
3, 2. Let's see him, gentlemen. Nick, we got the Great Barrier Reef, the Atlantic Ridge from Scott. What is that?
Marianas.
The trench. And a question from Kelly and the question mark from Brian.
It's in the Pacific. It's wrong.
So I thought.
I am debating whether or not to give this to Scotty.
But it's because
I crossed. Is this?
The correct answer is the Mid-Atlantic Ridge.
What did he put?
Wow. He put the Atlantic Ridge.
I feel like I like it. I mean.
I do like a tiebreaker.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm okay.
We're going to give him the point. Let's go to the tiebreakers.
I know you've already agreed, but I thought there was a directional aspect to it.
Yeah.
I don't think mid's a direction.
Well, no, but it's.
mid.
It's west, though, right? It's east west, though, right?
I'm very impressed through reason. Yeah. It's.
That's the Mariana Trench is the first thing that popped my head, but I'm like, that's a trench, not a mountain.
Yeah, it's the deepest part.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's the deepest part of the ocean, and it's in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It is the known deepest part of Earth, right?
6 miles.
Yeah. And I don't know this fact, Kelly or somebody else may, but the tallest mountain actually exists in one of the oceans, too, and I don't know the details of that, but
I saw
it's taller than Everest.
Where it's saying, the Mariana Trench is 6 miles, and then the tallest mountain on Earth is 5 miles. Yeah. So 11 miles.
That makes sense.
It's deeper.
Is the whole width. Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you.
Okay. Man, Scott is over there feeling great about himself. I love it.
How'd you get there?
For whatever reason,
I had North Atlantic Ridge in my brain immediately. And I don't know where it came from, but it stretches the Atlantic. So I'm like, well, it probably wouldn't be north.
Yeah.
So I said Atlantic Ridge.
Very good.
Heck of a comeback.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
He blacked out for a minute. He was phosphoring.
All right. So heading into the tie-breaking question, Nick, Brian, I invite you to play along, but ultimately it will determine the winner between Scott and Kelly. Ready, gentlemen? How many feet tall was the largest wave ever recorded, which occurred in Lituya Bay, Alaska?
Oh, I would have not expected that location.
Yeah, agreed.
You said feet?
I'll read it again. Okay. The answer will be in feet. How many feet tall was the largest wave ever recorded, which occurred in Lituya Bay, Alaska? Kelly's got an answer down. We are not concerned about going over. We just want closest. Nick has deferred playing along, so I need you to help me play the math game when they reveal in case I can do that. One's too close.
I mean, I have a number in my head.
I got you.
Yeah. Not going to write it down, though.
I hear you. Need an answer here, Scotty.
I got one.
You got one. Kelly's got one. All right. Let's reveal the answer. We've got 583 from Scott, 102 from Kelly. A clear winner in Scotty Quinner.
Wow.
The correct answer is 1,720 feet.
I never would have guessed that.
That's crazy. Wow. I got to believe that.
I don't believe it. That's not right. So I'm like halfway there.
A third of the way there, actually. Wow. As a matter of fact. And with that, 1,720 feet.
1,700.
When did this happen?
So, for reference, the St. Louis Arch is just over 600 feet.
Yeah.
So, it's three of those high.
Wow.
I can't even fathom that.
No.
And there's some idiots like, I can surf that.
Right? Yeah. That doesn't even seem possible.
The largest wave ever recorded, reaching a height of 1,720 feet, occurred on July 9th, 1958 in Lituya Bay, Alaska. This massive wave was caused by a landslide triggered by an earthquake, which sent a huge amount of rock into the bay, displacing the water and generating the record-breaking wave. All I know is Scotty is our victor.
Hey, yo.
Well done, doctor.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job, doc.
Thank you.
Good job.
It's always good to win on a just completely random
guess. Yeah, you know, just throw it out there, see what sticks to the wall.
But I did pick up 3 points in the last three.
Yeah, a strong come from behind victory, no doubt. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump to the bonus question, and Scotty, as the winner, you're going to get first crack at it. Oh, if you could turn into any animal at will and return to your human form, swap in between the two, which would you choose and why? Any animal. There's a motive factor to this. What do you hope to do as the animal, right? This is different than if you were reincarnated as an animal. This is being able to move in between your human form and what animal form. What comes to mind out of the gate? Whether it's your final answer or not, what comes to mind?
I got two. They're both land animals.
Okay.
Even though flying would be really cool, scared of heights, I know it probably wouldn't bother me as the animal. And I'm not a fan of the ocean.
You're right.
So I'm going between a wolf and a bear.
Okay.
Now, don't ask me which kind of wolf bear, you know? I don't know.
Why did those two come to mind specifically?
Just, you know, apex predators.
Nailed it.
Roaming the earth. I mean, just like the bear, you know, outside of a human, you're probably not going to be attacked and killed by another animal.
Right. Sure.
You're just roaming, doing your thing. Still get to be an omnivore. Yeah. So it's good.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Bear, yeah. You're not stuck with plants. You still get to dine in, man.
Bears eat a lot of fish, though.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're not required to.
That's true.
You know. Anybody else got a quick answer for us?
Scott as a bear eats chicken wings.
And puffer fish. Yeah, right.
A bird, some kind of bird came to mind.
We have that in common.
Yeah. I thought about that. I heard, maybe it was Joe Rogan. They talked about, was it crocodiles or alligators don't actually die of old age.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they die from?
Only another animal or something like that.
They are also an apex predator.
Yeah.
So that is.
Or being hunted or something like that.
Oh,
but
okay.
Would technically, I guess, live forever if they were left alone.
Man, so I'm going to need some fact checking on that one, because there'd be a hell of a lot more alligators.
You
want
to be a bird?
Brian, what comes to mind? What's your favorite activity?
Several popped in, like bear and mountain lion were the first two.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about flying.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. So I'm going to go with either a bear or a black hippo.
Wow.
Because they're badass, apparently.
Yeah.
They destroy everything. Okay. Or an elephant. That would be cool, too.
Okay.
I like elephants. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a mix between an elephant and a rhinoceros?
Elephino.
Elephino.
There it is.
Classic.
Oh, hello.
Classic.
Peregrine falcon.
Wow. That's very specific.
Fastest animal. Like, when they dive, they go, like, I don't know, like 200 miles an hour. And just being able to fly is cool. Like, you could just soar.
Eagle. That's my answer. Out of the gate. Eagle. Absolutely for the flying. Apex predator yet again. You know, super protected. You know, I don't have to worry about being hunted unless it's being done illegally.
Sure.
I find it fascinating when I was thinking about this question. First of all, something under the water. Because swimming is not terribly different than flying, right? Although you don't have the fear of heights. And then I also, my brain, a little sinister, went to something really small. Because you can sneak into places and not be known, but then, of course, you have the threat of being eaten by something slightly larger than yourself.
More than likely.
Yeah.
Or just stepped on.
Yeah. Or stepped on, All right. Well, thanks for playing along, guys. That's it for today's episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and those bellies laughing.
Dude, that is a fantastic shirt.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You can get one yourself. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. Where do you get that?
We got a merch store. You can find the link on our website. We partnered with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned custom apparel shop, and they've created a whole store for us. Doc, didn't you use this for your daughter's soccer team?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because they have no minimum order. So if I just need to buy a couple shirts, don't have to worry. It's not going to cost me anything extra.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Check them out yourself. You got a small business like we do or a sports program, you want some custom apparel, check out warriorlogowear.com, and they'll get you all hooked up.